listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday. Excuse me.
Nothing like a little feedback.
Dogs laying on cords causing feedback. It's lovely when it's live. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 17th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here, as always, and we've got a great show ahead. I'm looking forward to it.
We do. So glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live. We appreciate you taking the time out of your week to join us. We appreciate your contributions, and we always love seeing you. And thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Dr. Vicki, you are absolutely right. We have a great program tonight. I'm very much looking forward to it. We have a wonderful topic, and we are welcoming as our guest, Dr. Rick Telesca.
Good evening, everybody. How are we doing?
We're doing good. We're loving life. We have dogs around. We have good company. I love it. And I love tonight's topic.
Well, as we've mentioned before, Dr. Rick Telesca has quite the background and has worked extensively, doing a little research here and there on, UAPs, all that fun stuff. So that we're kind of leaning in that direction tonight, Michael, aren't we?
Oh, I think so. Tonight we're getting into the very interesting concept of alien abduction, specifically the metaphysical nature of the alien abduction syndrome. And, I just can't wait for this conversation.
Why don't you start us off, Dr. Rick?
All right. I thought long and hard before I suggested we do this, because this is a very difficult, it's complex and a very emotional topic. I think anybody who's ever heard of it, agrees to that. And I've seen a lot of sessions. I've talked to a lot of people, including some of the most infamous cases. And it continues to be a very real thing. I mean, and never say never, okay? Everything is impossible until it isn't. Mm-hmm. It's just with a topic like this, it's very, very difficult to find evidence. And this is not to say that something hasn't happened to the people who experienced this. Most people that I've talked to, and everybody else that I know who's been involved in this, the people they speak to truly believe something happened. They're not making this up. They truly believe something happened, which goes to, and I'm sure you heard this one before, the power of belief.
Mm-hmm.
It is, if they believe it happened, and no matter how much logic you use, and I never tell somebody that didn't happen, unless I think there's a harm to them for them believing it, which if I want to make that comment at the very end, be careful telling somebody that they may have been abducted by aliens. But I ask them questions and they'll agree. They'll answer me and say, oh yeah, you're right. Oh yeah, you're right. And then in the end say, I wonder why they did this. It just, they're just not shaken. So as we look at this, we have to really remain objective, and grounded as we go, through this whole topic. And it is by nature metaphysical. I mean, the topic itself, the people we're dealing with or the entities we're dealing with, they're metaphysical. But if I could make one statement on that is I don't believe that we know enough about ourselves, about our own reality or consciousness to really define these experiences, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. It does.
You know, I have a question. Sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that the study of metaphysics is so profound because it touches on every other facet of our lives. And I have some other thoughts that come to mind, but Dr. Vicky, you go right ahead.
Well, Rick, if there could be evidence, what kind of evidence would we be looking for? Because even that's subjective, but what kinds of things would you be looking for to find, like, some proof or evidence?
Well, you know, that is a tremendous question. And, you know, again, our problem is, and this is where metaphysics come in, because remember, before there's physics, there's metaphysics. And we're still, no matter how hard we try, and I have a couple of authors that write on UFO stuff, I really like them, but we keep coming back to the part, if we can't define it by our science, then it can't exist.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying we don't know enough to be able to define this, but I would actually be looking for some token. Did I get a token? You know, everybody seems to have a star map. I guess these aliens don't have, you know, sat nav or whatever. They always seem to have a star map somewhere. Or maybe a physical star map, if somebody could bring that back. I don't believe that some of the cuts and bruises and burns are enough. Because on a lot of this stuff, once you drill down, if you've ever been involved in some of these, all of a sudden you get really, really close and then you lose the trail. It's, oh, well, it's not this. Well, maybe it's this. And there's just so many things that can cause what we're looking at. So it's not to say that something didn't happen. It's to say it's very difficult to prove.
What about the chips that people claim?
And I think that's a really good question. Okay. Alien motive opportunity means, and I had this discussion with Dr. Doug. Here are some people or entities that apparently have the knowledge of interstellar travel or perhaps even interdimensional travel. And they've never heard of non-invasive techniques like CT scans or ultrasound. And to your point, what about the implants, the small – they've never heard of nanotechnology. We have technology where it can be injected into your bloodstream and you can't see it. We even have – DARPA is now working on what they call neural dust. And what you do is neural dust is a nanotechnology that a soldier, for example, could inhale.
That's interesting.
And then it would be able to transmit information. So the neural dust would know he's hurt or she's hurt before they even know it. So my point there is, why all these invasive techniques if they're so far ahead of us? That seems to be, to me, somebody described technology of the time.
Yes, that was my exact thought. Also, you know, a few things come to mind, and you were so kind to share your notes on this topic ahead of coming on, and I just thoroughly enjoyed going over them. But, you know, something that we have to keep in mind is that in a universe of infinite diversity, there is infinite possibility. And I think that we acknowledge that, you know, I like how you say there is something happening. To prove it is another matter, and to specifically define it is a hard thing to do. But, you know, I'm always on a bell curve of probability when I look at these things. I think it's possible that we do have a range of actual cases, but I can't help but think about the Satanism scare of the 80s. You had a lot of people that were undergoing rather coercive and, you know, guided memory regression, and they created memories of various things, and they became, you know, very famous examples of people that would create false memories. You said power of belief is incredible, and I come to that thought.
Well, could it be, though? Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Could it be, though, that we're translating through our own frame of reference what's happening? Like you said, technology of the time when the abduction occurred, allegedly occurred. Could it be that our psychology is trying to, you know, find a frame of reference? Because it's no different than somebody claiming to have seen Jesus, you know, and that's their frame of reference.
Well,
right. And I agree with that, except when you talk about things like needles being inserted, you lose me there, because we don't even really do that very much anymore. I was telling you about my eye before. That was all done by laser. So when I hear those type of things, they're kind of red flags. Not to say something didn't happen. Those are kind of red flags. But when you get into the list, and I do a presentation on this, and it's like I can put a list up on the screen. It can go four screens of the possible causes. Mm. You know, this is kind of like UFOs. 99% are not anything, and then that other percent, what the heck are they? I mean, stress can cause this. A bad dinner can cause this.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah, we got to find that one thing. And I think, Dr. Vicky, you may have said it, there's such a thing as this inner brain synchrony, where maybe they're drawing it from somewhere else or someone else. Mm-hmm. We start to get, I think you mentioned something once before, Dr. Vicky, quantum theory. Maybe this is not real in the sense of our reality here. It's all a non-local thing that appears to be real, and that's why we can't get any evidence.
And I think that kind of lines up with what you were saying a moment ago about us kind of translating it into what we know and see in our world. You know, the other thing that comes to mind is I agree with you, Dr. Rick, when it comes to the idea that the technology should be far and above beyond what we have to be anything that would be physically invasive. But the other thing is it is possible that they don't look at us as an equal form of life worthy of rights. Just throwing it out there. I'm not saying it is. I know all the different theories about reptilians, greys, et cetera, but just throwing that out there.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, we seem to assume, just like with our science, that their moral values are the same as our moral values. We seem to assume that their sense of time is the same as our sense of time. And that just may not be the case. And like you said, and you start to touch on another one of my very favorite topics. Or as you look at some of this, and I believe there's such a thing as what people call abduction and then contact. Contact is less scary, and some people live with it and they believe in it, and that like somebody's watching over, or there's somebody's watching them, or they feel there's somebody else within them, not a weird kind of thing. But I think all this can be real, but we don't quite understand what we're feeling or what we're knowing. Is that making sense? I don't know if it did.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I've met people also and I've had some weird experiences myself, but certainly not what I think is abduction. At least that's not how I saw it. But, you know, Stephen Greer, and again, with all due respect, once made a statement years ago that I'd heard of, how children often translate abduction is by being taken by witches or goblins and things. That's how they kind of, you know, filter that in their minds. And I thought, oh, I had those dreams for years. In fact, I'd lock my window at night because I didn't want them to come take me. But look, was that alien abduction? Like, who knows? And to me, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to go around saying, "Oh, the witches." You know?
And also, you know, belief is a powerful thing. You know, I don't think any of us are here to try to deny someone's lived experience and what they feel to be true. But I think I've made this point before a long time ago in a different context. But you know, when you don't have an even playing field, when you don't have an even reference point, you know, anything is possible. You know, I think I made the point before that. You know, if you see a ghost, how do you know it's a ghost and not like a telepathic alien that's just messing with you, that's beaming images into your head? You know, we don't know. It's a lot of it's unverifiable. But we do the best we can to find.
If you believe as I do, and the people that gave me this information, I trust very, very much. if you believe as I do, is, and I think this is really simple, is that, you know, an advanced entity like this, we're even learning this about ourselves, is that telepathic communication is very real. You know, and years ago, people didn't believe it so much. Now we have studies that show it is. And again, I believe in the universal consciousness, because I've seen some things that are just amazing. But if they can truly see as we see, think as we think within us, they may know everything about us even more than what we know. And I believe that's very possible, that there is that type of, power. Now, it's interesting, something Dr. Vicky said is, I have spoken to people, spoke with, yeah, anyway, people, who feel that they had some type of, experience.
Connection, experience, yeah.
And what really clinched it for me, saying, wow, that is really interesting, is they came up with stuff that they couldn't possibly know.
Exactly.
We're talking to people that aren't close to being scientists, don't want to be scientists, don't know anything about science, yet you mention something to them and they can go into a discussion of it and you'll say, well, how did you know that? And they'll say, I don't know. It just makes sense, right? Get right? It just makes sense. And they're asking, the way they say it, it just makes sense, right? They're actually asking me for help, saying, why do I know this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, I don't know. And I'm saying, you know, don't get upset. It's not a bad thing that you know something, because some people who have what they call contact feel that they have greater insight because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
I had a friend, an old friend from years back, who traveled the world. He was a scientist, in fact, and he'd work on various water or power plants throughout the world. And everywhere he went, back in film, not digital, he would take pictures of UFOs everywhere, you know, mostly in China when he was visiting China, but in Russia, South America. And he had this connection. He said, absolutely. He was 9 years old when he and his brothers saw their first, you know, alien craft. And he had this communication with them his entire life. Now, I think he's nearly 80 now, and that story's never changed. And he believes when the internet came, that was a great way for aliens to keep track of everybody.
Yeah. You know? I don't know if they're telepathic, they don't need it.
But he didn't claim to be abducted, and he didn't know how he felt about that. So he was more on your page, Rick, where, if that's your experience, that's your experience, and he wouldn't question it. But he never felt that he was. He just had people talk in his head that he knew weren't spirits or other things. And I've since kind of being around him enough, I hadn't experienced it too myself. And I know there's different frequencies of energy, you know, in tuning in. And it doesn't happen very often, but I can sense when there's a UAP around.
Hmm.
I can sense that. Now, do I care? No. I remember telling Dr. Doug one day that for hours there was a triangle, you know, shaped lights up in my backyard. I go back there half an hour later, it's still there. Not a star. It's not moving. I kind of wave, say, hey, guys. And Doug said, you didn't tell anybody? I said, why? Because it's not unusual for me, you know, to see that kind of thing. But again, have I been abducted? Not in a way that I would see that, if that makes sense.
You know,
well, it really does. It's interesting. You said a couple of things that are really interesting to me. One was when I was a child, I was really into the space program, and my grandparents had this. They lived in this little ranch and had this one set of stairs that went down in the basement. Down in the basement, she had a new front load washing machine. And I had these dreams where I'd be down there and then there were these people, and I can't even tell you what they look like. And they were trying to put me in the washing machine. I'd try to run up the stairs, they'd get me and put me in the washing machine.
Mm.
Now, who they were, I don't know. Do I think I was abducted? Absolutely not. But there is something else that you just mentioned is, you know, I did a lot of work in cybersecurity, and some of the work that we were doing in cybersecurity was very, very new at the time, very, very secret. And we were going places where nobody had gone before, with some of this technology. And we would be doing stuff and, you know, I have all this stuff up on the board. Nobody knows what we're talking about, even though we sound like we do. And we're trying to figure something out, and I'd just be sitting there, and all of a sudden I almost off the wall, I'd say, well, if we're going to do that, then we're going to have to do this, 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 and this. And everybody would look at me and say, well, how do you know that? I said, I don't know. Doesn't that just make sense? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they'll go, no, we never even thought of looking that way.
Yeah.
So how did you know it? I don't know how I know it. I chuck it off to, well, that to me seems like the logical conclusion. But then some people, one guy once said to me, it's not. What you just said was not a logical conclusion. All right.
Well, who's to say
I
that?
I know what it is. And it doesn't work with my wife. So, you know, who knows?
You know, that's the wonderful thing about humanity is we have so many different perspectives because we need them. You know, with different perspectives comes a different sense of logic. That's why we have so many people in this world that believe fervently that they're right and that the other guy isn't. But that being said, you know, I think that we need to keep our minds open to all of the possibilities. I love, you know, having these discussions with you because you get so much into the weeds of it. You touch base with the realities that we know about, at least. And it is an utterly fascinating thing. And when it comes to, like Dr. Vicky being kind of president of the UAPs, all I can think about is maybe you're watching a good TV show they wanted to, you know, piggyback on. But, it is, it's an interesting thing.
Keep in mind, I grew up at a time where we had no TV till I was like 8 and a half.
Did you have radio programs on? Were they particularly entertaining that they might want to listen in on?
No, hardly ever. and even then when I was out at the farm, they didn't even get power in their place till I was like 8. So I lived it's one of those, what I call those more pure childhoods.
Where you had to just use crap on my generation, why don't you?
No offense. No, I'm not.
Oh, no, I took offense. It's fine.
It's just when witches are taking me and all this, I had no frame of reference.
You know,
it was before a time when we even had a television. I think I was born in 55, and that's when Disneyland only just started. And so I didn't even watch a Disney film until I was in grade school. You know, it's that kind of a thing that I'm trying to explain, that nowadays it's harder to define because there are so many influences that we can chalk it up to.
By which you mean the feeling of a presence of a UAP?
Well, maybe. I think any experience, if it's outside of our realm of reality, we're going to see it as unusual, and we'd like. And do you not agree, Rick, that some people just like the notion of being special?
Well, yeah, and I think, yeah, you're going right, I think, in a direction. You know, people say, well, who can be an abductee? Anybody. It can be anybody. Yeah. And the interesting thing is the difference in some of these cases is not the abduction itself. I see Dr. Jerry had written something, and I think this is along the lines of what she's saying. It's how people respond to it sometimes is what the real issue is. But just in terms of the point that you made, what are some of the possible things that – one thing I tell people is one of the hardest things here is I have to dismiss a lot of things before I can even think about the alien abduction diagnosis or whatever. I mean, we've done studies where we require people to get physicals and toxicologies and blood tests, and we look at their lifestyle, because any one little thing, although something may have happened, could throw us off. But you were just mentioning it. You have the psychological implications, like, you know, the I'm special syndrome, or I want to be part of the discussion. Mind metaphor remediation. We were talking about that before. The interbrain synchrony is interesting, because if you go back in history of the UFOs, and being old, I can do that. People were, they used to have all these meetings. People would get, and they used to call it, you know, mass hysteria. They get all fired up in a certain belief, and some people it affects them more when they go home than others. So you have that type of thing, the interbrain synchrony, and that's all psychosocial. So we got to get rid of that. Then we have the physiological stuff. Missing time syndrome, also known as highway hypnosis. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's not.
I do it when I drive my car across town.
Yeah. me too. Sleep paralysis, sleep apnea can cause things. Vivid or lucid dreams. And somebody said, well, you can't have a lucid dream during the day. Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm.
All these things have been studied. We have the implants are always interesting. But again, I keep going back to the nanotechnology. They should be able to have something that we don't know unless they want us to know. Then what we're talking about is an experiment here, but that's another topic.
Mm-hmm.
Over-the-counter medications can do this, depending on who you are. Interesting thing. For me, you know, a doctor will say, oh, you got a pain, take ibuprofen or acetaminophen, which would be like a Tylenol. I could take 10 ibuprofen. It doesn't do a thing for me. I take one Tylenol, pain's gone.
Yeah.
We react differently. Alcohol and drug use, we don't really have to go too far on that one. And that's an interesting one because almost every one of the infamous cases, there's some been in some involvement of either alcohol or drugs or some type of medication. Stress, anxiety. You know, and then you get into the really serious stuff like neurological dysfunction, temporal lobe stuff. So now we got to push that aside to keep going to find the answer. And then we come to, I think this is some of our favorite now, is quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden that flips everything on its back because it can explain a lot of these things if you want to look at that. Non-local communication, quantum entanglement. All this stuff is possible, and if you believe in quantum physics, which I believe is everything is made of energy,
mm-hmm.
there's your connection right there, whether it be electromagnetic energy or whatever. And that also, to me, makes such a thing as universal consciousness all possible, all real.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get rid of those things before we can make that diagnosis. And I think that's an important aspect that any investigator needs to understand. First and foremost, your job is to be objective and see if you can answer some of those questions. And then if you can, what's left? There's not a lot. That making sense?
Absolutely.
I think it's very hard to talk with some people and the questioning manner, because they quite take offense to it. And of course, we're in this big cancel culture now.
True enough. You were talking about your friend that had that. He's in his 80s and has had the same experience. That, you know, it came across to me as a cornerstone memory of his sense of self. And I think, you know, these are important events to people, and it is a very delicate thing. So I think dealing with being open, you know, being understanding, and just because you can't prove something doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. It means it's unverifiable. That being said, you know, there we have our inner oracle cards, and of those cards, we have the card groundedness. I love pulling this card because it's always a good reminder about different things. Talking about remaining grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs, having a compelling and defensible basis for beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. These are just some of the points on this card that we read all the time. And I think that too many people are not comfortable enough with being able to say, I don't know. I feel like people need a sense of certainty, so they do go to things. But when I was also reading through your notes, Dr. Rick, you had talked about some compelling different, you know, examples. You talked about there being like a spectrum of things. There are compelling anecdotes and examples of alien abduction. Do you have anything that comes to mind that would be a particularly compelling example of alien abduction?
Before we get there, one thing you just said, I just want to hit on because you're so right. I think, again, this is my opinion. That doesn't mean I'm right. I agree with you. Doesn't mean I'm right. But I think any discussion of this with anybody, I always try to have more of a conversational type of discussion. We're just going to have a conversation. You're going to help me as much as I might try and help you in this situation. I'm here to learn. You are asking me about, you know, questions, and just like when we started tonight, how was your day today? Oh, good. I will do that with people. What was your day like today? Oh, great. All right. You know, and I'll share some of the things with me. I mean, sometimes I'm with other investigators saying, what are you talking about? It has nothing to do with anything. I said, no, but we're creating a rapport here. They can see I'm the same as them. I'm not here to hurt you. I have similar interests and concerns that you do. Now let's just talk. Okay. And I think that way they start to open up with you. You go out to somebody and say, hey, were you drinking today? No, not me. You know, it's like we know it's true. None of us ever exceed the speed limit, right? So I think that's important. You're asking me about compelling cases. The only ones I've seen are the ones that you've probably never heard of. It's people that I've been able to speak with, or I've been called in on a situation where, like you said, Dr. Michael, you get to the point where I have to say, I don't know. I don't know what happened to you. Is this possible? Yeah. I mean, these people aren't sick. They don't have a medical issue. They don't have – And I guess my response on that always is everything is impossible. It isn't just what you don't, just what you said. We don't know everything. But I've had cases where, I had a younger person, and instead of telling me the dog ate his homework, it was like, you know, I'm doing this work and somebody's helping me. I said, what do you mean? Somebody? I said, do you hear a voice? And his answer was right. And if any of you ever do this, or have, I'm not going to say clairvoyance or whatever. I describe it as it's not a voice and it's not a picture, but it is. It's both. It kind of is just there. It appears, but it doesn't appear as we would understand the word appeared. And really hard to explain. It just comes to me. And he's writing down and he goes, I think somebody's talking to me all the time or helping me with it. And I happen to know his parents. And they said, what do you think? I said, he answers all these questions. His father goes, yeah, he's not that smart. I said, well, obviously he is, but he would tell me, yeah. And I said, well, you know, what do you think of UFOs? And then he goes, well, you know, I really never paid a lot of attention to them. He goes, but is it possible? And he came up by himself, as far as I know, of things like, well, maybe there's something out there where everybody knows everything and you kind of can kind of tap into that.
I know this is going to, I love it.
But he was saying things that I don't hear very often. Another one that I always found interesting was the Pascagoula abduction case. That was interesting how they talked about a floating eye, that they were examined by a floating eye. Never heard that from anyone else. That was at that time, that was surely well out of the science, you know, out of the range of what most people would think about. The only thing you could come close to is if you saw the movie War of the Worlds, they had that eye. It was on an arm, kind of like a floating eye. But these people had some very, very compelling story. But then, of course, you keep drilling down, and we're fishing and having a few beers. All right. Well, that hurts a little bit. But, you know, Pascagoula was very, very interesting. The other ones that I would talk about, I don't call them, and they don't call them abductions, and you're never going to hear about them, is some stories that I got from people in the military. And one was a pilot, really well-decorated pilot, fighter pilot. He's fought everywhere and done everything. And if you know fighter pilots, first of all, they're all cowboys, all right, because, you know, those jets, they love them. But these are very calm people. If you've ever heard them on the radio in the middle of combat, you know, they're going to say, you know, I've got, it looks like I've got three balls headed straight at me. What they're seeing is they're seeing lighted balls, and those are rockets. And that's about as excited as they get. Well, this guy was telling the story, and you could see him start to get excited. And his point was, there was this thing in the sky, and I've never seen anything like it. And his point to me always is, and my point to other people is, when you're a pilot, you better know what you're seeing in that sky, because it could mean your life if you don't know what it is. And he said, I saw this thing. He goes, it came right at me. He goes, but somehow I knew it was not going to hit me. I said, well, how did you know that? He goes, I don't know. He goes, it was in my head. I was just perfectly calm. It's not going to hit me. He said, it came alongside me and just paced me. He goes, so I banked to the left and it banked with me. He goes, I banked back to the right towards it. He goes, and it banked with me. I said, what are you doing, playing with it? He goes, well, yeah. And he goes, I engaged, you know, some afterburners. I went faster. He goes, I slowed down. I said, how long did this go on for? He goes, 20 minutes. He goes, and then he goes, I was out of fuel. He goes, I had to go back. He goes, and that was it. And of course, he never told anybody, because, you know, he wouldn't be flying anymore. But he said there was a sense with him that it was communicating with him, but not in words and not in pictures, but just in the fact that, yes, I'm here. Yes, we're doing this. You do what you want. I'm going to follow you. And he said, all I got the sense was it just wanted me to know it was there. And I said, well, what was it? He goes, I don't know. He used different language. He goes, I don't know. And the people I talk to, you know, some people don't understand, you know, you work with military people and they're very serious about certain things. And you work with certain levels of certain people. And if this is what they tell you, you believe it. All right. Because your life could be in their hands. And some of these people I talk to, very serious people, you would never in a million years expect a story like this from them. And then you get it. But again, I get it because I build a rapport with them. They've gotten to know me and they know I'm not here to hurt you, but we know you find it interesting. So long story, but that's probably one of the best that I've seen. I can tell you one where, you know, as our time goes on, I want to make sure we make this point, but I can tell you one that concerned me a great deal because I knew it was not an abduction case. And this goes along the lines of misdiagnosis of alien abduction. It can be very dangerous, all right? Especially if somebody has a true medical condition that needs to be addressed, and somebody who's not qualified says, oh, well, you were abducted by aliens, and they don't get that condition addressed, they could get hurt, or somebody else could get hurt. So I'll tell this story real quick. I got a call from some people I know in one of the largest UFO groups in the country. I'm not going to mention any names. And the director of alien abduction had these people call me because they knew me, and they wanted – because of where I live. They wanted me to check out a case. And the minute I start telling you this, I think most people are going to guess what's going on here. She wanted us to check out a case because she had spoken to someone and she believed he was being abducted. It was an Afghan war veteran. And he had gotten, I don't want to say blown up because he was still alive, but he had been involved in the explosion of an IED while he was in Afghanistan. So now he comes home and he believes, or he thought he had aliens. They would come in his house and they'd be in the basement all the time. Or he'd see them out the window. And then there's other things they were doing to him. He was having things like sleep paralysis. And my first response to that, hearing his profile, I said to them, before we do any of this, I would really like this guy to get a full medical exam. Believe it or not, when they come back from a war zone, they don't always get an exam, you know. So I said, I would want to see him get an exam because my concern here is this could be PTSD. Well, this person, she went ballistic. I'll tell you, she went ballistic on me. What are you saying? You don't know what you're talking about. And I was confused because I'm saying, yeah, that's the point. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need for a professional to tell me that this guy doesn't have PTSD before I walk in there and tell him those are aliens. Now here's the other part of this. He was still in the military, in the reserves, and he was working with explosives. Oof. And training other soldiers. And my concern is, what if he saw aliens and he thought they were going to hurt him and he either took out a gun and started shooting or he did something with munitions? So my point on all this is I needed to know before I would go forward with that, that he didn't have PTSD. And the sad thing was this person didn't want to do that, didn't think that was our business, didn't think that's what we should be involved in. And that's wrong. I ended up through some people that I know, they contacted his commanding officer who was able to, you know, very passively get him to see some other people and he had PTSD. Now, does that mean he didn't see aliens? I can't say that. Maybe he did. But that would exacerbate
his experiences.
Right. I've got to solve the other problem before I can go in to that other realm. I just can't take that chance.
You know, one thing I think I want to stress here is that when I listen to you relay these examples, we're not, I don't think you're trying to disprove anything as much as you're trying to, you know, distillate things down to a kernel of verifiable truth that you can point at. There's a lot of things that are still in the murky, you know, unknown to us, to the person who has a lived experience. It's a different, you know, a totally different story. And again, I want to just kind of emphasize, I think we all acknowledge on this discussion that there is, you know, the bell curve of statistics, that you're going to have real examples and you're going to have people that imagine it. You're going to have all across the spectrum. So I definitely don't want anybody listening to think that we're coming after your lived experience, because we're not.
No, you're exactly right. I'll, you know, as a researcher, what I want to do is, when the end of the day comes, I can look at you and say, you know what? I've eliminated all the possibilities here. Okay. This is what we think is going on. And that's all we can do, because, like you said, everything is impossible until it isn't. Mm-hmm. Something is going on here. Okay. How do we prove it? So usually when I talk about this, I just say that the investigation of alien abductions is a difficult undertaking. So don't undertake it lightly. And if you think you have these, it's important to share it with people who might be doing research, people you trust, so that we can understand more of what direction we need to go in. Where, give me a target, okay? Let me look at something. And again, I believe you. Every person I talk to, I believe exactly what they're telling me. I may ask them some questions, or maybe some red flags where I'll say, well, what about this? And I'll say, oh, yeah, okay. But no, I agree with you 100%. I'm not trying to, some people say, oh, you're a debunker. No, I'm a researcher in a very different, you know, people want to do traditional investigations in a very non-traditional field. So all of us are riding that fine line. I need a certain amount of traditional proof. At the same time, I've got to go with the inductive reasoning here, because that's all I've got.
Much like, I have to say, if I can inject this, that I've been doing what I do for a long time, and there was, I don't do it much anymore, but lots of times people would send me their kids who would have a lot of psychic experiences, otherworldly experiences, and even to their 20s, they'd call me and say, oh, I had these experiences. I go through my checklist. And I want to believe everybody has psychic abilities and experiences. But have you been doing any drugs lately? Like, have you been drinking much? Where have you been? Did you have any traumatic experiences? And although that's an uncomfortable thing, you approach it in a good way. Because I'd say, well, how about, let's do an experiment. Lay off of that stuff for a week. You know, chill out, relax. And let's see what happens. And call me in a week. And it's amazing. Oh, I hate to say this, but a lot of times those things would kind of dissipate.
You know, that's interesting how you said that, because I've had people who are living one lifestyle. And I'm not talking about drugs. Maybe let me put this way. Maybe like they were more introverted and they were having these experiences. And I'm not going to say suddenly, but all of a sudden their lifestyle started to change for whatever reason. Maybe they got a new job. They started to become more extroverted. And all of a sudden, those old experiences, they would say, well, maybe it wasn't quite like this. Maybe it was more like this. It changes. So, again, perspective and belief. And there's, you also said something else that I think – there's 1,000 things we could talk about here, and I'm jumping all over the place. But I ran into a situation, excuse me, where somebody thought they had an implant. Okay. And there was something there. Okay. And nobody was really sure, and they were telling us the story. And it's like, all right, there's something there. I mean, what are we going to do? Well, this comes along the line as you should always listen to your mother. Because we ended up speaking to his mom. And she goes, David, don't you remember when you were little? And Dad was cutting the lawn, and he hit a croquet wicket with the lawnmower, and a piece chipped out, and two pieces hit you in the chest, and one was right on the surface, And the doctor said there was another one in there and they were going to have to get it out at some point, and they never did it.
Well,
this was a case where something happened. He didn't even remember. So, and again, I'm saying this along the lines of not that I don't believe anybody, but how complex this can get at times. Because, again, I want to – when I talk to people like – and some people, it's like you said, Dr. Michael, they're good with this. I would be – if I truly knew I was communicating with somebody else, I'd be good with it. Some people aren't. They're scared. They're somebody – you know, some people say, oh, that's Satan talking to me. No, maybe it's not. Lighten up a little bit. Let's see. What, did they ever tell you to do anything bad? No. Well, what did they tell me? Well, they tell me this, or they tell me not to do this because it's going to rain on this day. Did it rain? Yeah, it did. And we know they didn't get that from the weather people because, at least where I live, they're not that good. So it's such a fine line. You know, it's an art. It's not a science.
It is.
It's an art, and you have to speak to the right person.
You know, I want to say, if people knew how many folks are medicated right now that alters the consciousness, even the slightest, nobody would drive.
You know, my wife's a nurse, and she says that to me all the time, because I said, why did that person do that? She goes, look at them. She goes, they may be medicated. And I said, all right. I said, how can you tell? She goes, you do this for 45 years.
Yeah.
You look at somebody's face. Sometimes, you know, you can tell. You got two things here. One is, you're absolutely right, Dr. Vicky. They could be medicated. And something you said before we came on the air. If radio frequencies and electromagnetic frequencies were in color, we wouldn't be able to see each other across the room.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bingo.
And there's no question, because I did this research back in the 1980s, that electromagnetic fields, especially extremely low magnetic electromagnetic, can affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What we learned back in the 80s, too, this is interesting that some people don't know, is back then the Russians were way ahead of us in this research. Do you know that they did not allow the use of fluorescent lights in classrooms?
Wow.
Because of the ballast putting out electromagnetic fields. So we've got cell phones, microwaves. We've got cars with radars on them. And you do realize that every time you have a backup beep or you have a – that's radar on these cars. And every car is broadcasting radar. And if you've been in the military, obviously it's much, much stronger. You know how different that can be, but you're constantly bombarded by this.
You know,
all right, and then you have the whole issue with the cell phones. And I'm not going to say necessarily electromagnetic fields, but you do have them. Anytime you have an electric field, you have an electromagnetic field. There is such a thing as psychotronics. And those
maybe,
are discussed.
Maybe what we should do here is tell everybody, we were talking before the program about how people seem to be changing. And my theory is radiation from electromagnetic frequencies. So that's what brought on this conversation, which what you're saying, I totally concur with, much like some people can't cope high altitude. Some people can't cope with barometric pressure changes. Some people can't cope with whatever. What we're doing right now at 5G, and I'm not going to get on a big 5G thing, people. I'm just saying that according to the WHO, 6G is the max that any life form can tolerate. We know that cattle stop reproducing when they live around big power plants. We know that illness occurs if you've been around power plants too long. Yep. We know these things. So you're right. If all these frequencies were in color, we couldn't see each other.
That was very interesting point. And I like how Dr. Vicky, you said that it is based on the person. Yeah, that is a very good way to look at it.
Cows that graze underneath high tension lines would not give milk.
Right.
Okay, I had a case, utterly unbelievable, about a woman working with a computer after she was pregnant. Computer wouldn't work.
What?
And her watch wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And couldn't figure that one out till we tested it, and then we talked to other people, and we came up with it. The pregnancy changed her
frequency?
Electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how long that could last. But I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. I was there. We did the testing. I want to make one comment to Dr. Jerry here. If someone communicates regularly with the ETs, and I know how you feel, you don't want to tell anybody because they're not going to believe you. You don't have to tell them like that. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. Mm-hmm. You know, you put it in the form of a question. Hey, have you ever thought, have you ever wondered? Because when you start talking like that, you would be amazed how many people suddenly turn around and want to ask the question. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that ridicule you are, in my mind, very short-sighted. They lack insight. They're functional, but they're going to do, they're going to repeat what they're told. They're not going to come up with something new. All right. Thinking people will listen and they will say, you know, maybe, you know, and I know it's hard to say that, but I can say that because I wrote something and these people told me when I wrote it, nobody's going to believe you. So go ahead and write what you want. And there's parts of it I still don't believe, but I believe, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I know it's impossible to believe. I understand it. When you read that, I understand. Maybe you think I'm crazy because it's very hard to believe, especially the end part. But I believe it because of the people who told me. And now, if you look at the older ones of us, if you look at what our opinions were in the 70s and the 80s, and now all of a sudden we're seeing science that supports what we originally thought, you don't feel so bad about it. It's like, you know what? That's their problem, not yours. All right? As long as you believe what you believe and you're honest about it, you know what? You know, they can ridicule all they want. Oh, let me see here.
Dr. Jerry has responded by saying, a good point. Turn it around and ask a question. She said, thanks.
One thing we used to teach is, if you ever have a real problem with somebody or a real, you know, you just don't get along with them, you know how you get them on your side? Ask them their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you've turned it around on them. You know, they hate you, you hate them, you're a jerk, you don't know anything. Turn around and ask them their opinion. All of a sudden, you're saying, I value you, I want to hear your opinion. You tell me, all right? And that works. You know, one thing I never saw work was put two people don't like each other in a room and let them fight it out. That never worked. But you put two people in a room and let them ask each other's opinions. I've seen some of those people become the best of friends. I've had that with somebody that I worked with. Is I said, well, I'm never going to get along with this guy, and we're the best of friends. So everybody sees something differently.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I've always loved.
You brought up a memory of I have a friend, too. We've been friends for like 35, 40 years. Talk about opposite ends of the spectrum. And I thought, oh, I don't know how we're going to get along. She is so pragmatic, non-artistic, you know, like. But one day we just started asking questions. and it works.
I think it requires a bit of tolerance for, you know, respecting a different viewpoint. But once you have that bedrock of you can respect a different viewpoint, you know, just like you said, Dr. Ricky, I have, you know, one of my best friends. He and I are on polar opposites of a lot, but we listen to each other.
You know, it is interesting, and Dr. John Mack from Harvard University, he found this too, is people who had talked about alien abduction or alien contact. And again, I like the term contact more than abduction. I don't think they have a need for abduction. I don't really think that's necessary. Mm. But he did note that that while all these people were normal and healthy, they tend to be more the creatives. So if you were to do a Myers-Briggs test, they tend to be more on the creative side. They tend to be more open to fantasy and to speculation versus, you know, the engineering type where, you know, everything had to be absolute. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, but that's the yin and the yang, isn't it? Without the creatives and the metaphysicists, we're not going to have the physicists. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get the answers. So if people don't talk to us about what's going on here and understand that while I will tell you it's a very difficult thing to prove, at the same time, I'm going to tell you, I believe you. I want to hear what you have to say, mm-hmm. because maybe that'll give me that one little, I don't know, clue on how to go after this.
Rick, you have to admit that you're among a minority.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I always have been. I think a minority in the sense of where I'm in the middle of the road here, or I'm
being open to things, you mean?
Being open?
Yeah.
I was once told by somebody, a man I respected, when we were doing those studies on EMF fields, he goes, Rick, you have to understand that people don't always understand where you're coming from, because if the sentence is front to back, you're coming from back to front.
Yeah.
And that's a different viewpoint. And I said, okay, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I understand. So now I try to explain where I'm coming from. But one thing I've learned, and any people can believe this or not, a few things I've learned after writing a book, going to school and whatever. I heard somebody say the other day, and I disagree with them, the more you learn, the less you believe in all this. It's just the opposite for me. But I learned a few things. One is something created all this. There's a grand architect or whatever you want to call it.
I agree.
Two, never say never. Okay?
Well,
everything is impossible until it isn't.
You know, I had a real debate with that same friend who I tend to be on the off. We look at reality in different ways. He was arguing for a grand or a God type thing, maybe not a Judeo-Christian one, but a grand architect type. I said in an infinite universe, we don't understand so much we cannot know. So you cannot definitively say whether there is a creator, a architect, or if we just don't know. There's too much in the fog. There's too much that we can't see because of our perspective. But,
you know, and the thing I get in trouble for along that line is, well, I believe there's a grand architect, and my son does says, don't use that term because he's a Mason.
Yeah, that's where we were talking about it.
That's the best description. Well, I found out the other day we're actually direct descendants of Templars. But anyway.
That's interesting.
Here's the thing I get in trouble with. I believe in the grand architect. I don't believe that we are created from the grand architect. I believe that we are created by something the grand architect created. If I look at everything that goes on, and again, I've issued that question before, what do we contribute to the earth? Nothing. We don't belong here. And then when we talk about some of these alien abductions, if they're in fact true, they sound more like an experiment to me than they do their information gathering. So I've had people get very upset about that.
Well, I mean, we study other humans. We have anthropologists.
Right.
And also, you know, I think it is human ego that makes us think that, well, of course, the creator created us. But I had to say, you know, this is one reason why I couldn't do the Masons is because I could not bring myself to say that there is a creator or a grand architect. To me, a singular creator is just, it doesn't vibe. And I have no evidence. I have no logical argument. It just doesn't vibe. So that's what I got to go with. But, you know, I will always say, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Albert Einstein. The most beautiful thing that we can experience is the mysterious. And I am all for that.
It's, you know, something I said to Dr. Doug once about quantum physics, and it goes along here, and I'm seeing some of the comments that we wait for science to prove something. Well, you know, we're trying to prove quantum physics with mathematics. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Maybe mathematics, first of all, we know our math is wrong, and I can give you examples of what they've learned. But maybe there isn't a unified theory. Maybe there's a unifying theory that connects the standard model of physics, which is everything nice and level and ordered, to the chaos of quantum physics, which isn't. And that's your balance right there. The chaos and the stable. And maybe the science as we understand it is not the way to explain it. Mathematics may not explain that. It's something we yet don't understand. We're just not there yet.
We will be.
I think there's something we will coded. Be. I just don't think the code is necessarily math.
Well, I mean, math is just a language. So it's math. I mean, we're all just arguing semantics at this point, but math is just a, you know, there is the language of math that we have not yet discovered, to express it.
It's like time. Math is a human construct, so is time. That's the way for us to understand. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had a lot of people suggest to me music, because music exists out there in the cosmos. You can hear it. Stars play sounds. Yep. Maybe that's what it is. And I'll tell you, I've seen musicians, and I am so envious of a musician. I wish I could make music the way some of these people play instruments. I think that is the greatest skill in the world. I can't do it. But yet they do it, and they do communicate, though, don't they? Music does communicate.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could also make the argument that music is math. Again, you know, math is just, absolutely, like you said, it is a way to quantify things. It's a way to see things. I mean, it is self-evident, but so is, you know, there are ineffable things that you cannot quantify. We all know that joy is real, but how do you quantify that? You know?
That's it.
You know, I've said this time and again on previous programs. If we ever try to think without words, we have an entirely different experience.
I'm sorry.
It's hard to do.
When I learned that there are people that don't have an inner monologue, it blew me away. I could not conceive of it. It is
there was a screenwriting class that I saw once, and the first assignment was to write a scene without any dialogue and just description. Mm-hmm. So everybody knew exactly what was going on.
Mm.
The characters couldn't say anything. You just had to see what they do. And it's an interesting thing because it was just imagery that told the story. And they had given you an example of what story you want to tell, which was pretty complex. But it was interesting. Words were of no value in doing it. So,
you know, if I focus, I can think in images and sounds, but it's not my natural way. But it's an interesting thing. You know, I often, when I was younger, would try to conceptualize how an animal experienced life, and I often try to do that, but I'm not good at it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I used to do that in the class all the time. Do you think in words or images? So if I say to you right now, giraffe, what do you see in your mind? Do you see a picture of a giraffe, or do you see the word giraffe?
I see the word.
Okay, see, I see the giraffe.
I do too.
And I see something else.
Oh, look at you, fancy folk.
My son does a lot in the sound thing. He does sound therapy.
Well,
and he's been doing that for a while, and I got to tell you, it works. I wouldn't have believed it, but he does certain things where I can feel it go right through my body. The sound and electromagnetic field, and he was saying what you were saying, Dr. Vicky, the frequency level of the body and how he needs to adjust it sometime, or when I get cranky, he's going to try and use it on me or something like that. But it does work. I'm amazed. We just haven't recognized it yet.
You know, I visualized the word first, and then I saw the animal. I guess I thought about it as a concept, so I don't know how that qualifies. But I did see the word first before I saw it. That's an interesting question.
The pragmatist, that's all. My oldest daughter remembers everything in her life by color. She's a photographer naturally also. So everything, if you ask her what happened back in grade 8 or grade 9, she has to remember a color. And that's fascinating to me.
That's like artists. Certain artists, if you look at a painting and we see all the different colors and we see like the reflection on the water, they see white. They see a white stripe of paint. I see a reflection. Yeah. Their eye sees it and translates it. So, I mean, the point here is, it's what we've been saying. Everybody sees something differently. And when it comes to alien abduction, what are they experiencing? Is it a metaphor for them that they need for some reason? Is it a real experience with something physical that came from somewhere else? Is it is it an interdimensional thing that's happening? We just don't have the means yet to do it, and that's why we're talking about it as metaphysical.
That's awesome.
And the best way we can learn truth is by discussing it.
Absolutely. You know, again, this hour has just flown by. We could be here for a very long time. Dr. Rick, I'm so glad you joined us again. It's always a pleasure.
You get the memo? Dr. Rick and I talked. We're going for 2 hours. You didn't get that? No. Of course.
You know, thank you very much. When I propose this, but this one is very difficult. I feel a little bit that I rambled around in different areas.
Oh, you didn't.
But it's so complex, and I just want to make the point again that Dr. Michael made. Nobody, and I don't say this doesn't happen. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's so hard for me to prove it, and I've got to find the way. I want to hear the stories. I want to know, but I got to find the way.
You know, when you're trying to do an investigation, it's not really about the subject. It is about the people that have no lived experience of that subject, and you're trying to show them something that is a verifiable truth that is unambiguous.
And well, the first thing they say to me sometimes is, I'm going to tell you something you're going to think it's crazy. Mm. And I'll say, okay, you tell me, then I'll tell you something I did that's really crazy. And, you know, we kind of break it. Tell me, all right? No, I don't think so. And I think if you have the viewpoint that all of us have shared, and I see a lot of people in the chat room, we share the open-mindedness. People will talk to you. They will tell you things. Even military people, which, you know, it took me a long time. Like one guy said, I know more about you than you know of me, and I'll tell your wife. So I don't know what he was talking about because I never do anything wrong. But it's true, you know.
Mm, yeah. Will you come back again, Rick?
Sure. I mean, I'll come back anytime if we feel it's useful. I just want to be useful. And I want to, I love to see the comments. I write them all down, you know, so I know who you are. I write them all down because those go into my notes. I have a big stack of notes.
Well, and with your contacts, I have no doubt that you know exactly what their address and telephone number is too.
I've got a guy. I'll tell a story sometime. He did something for me and my wife goes, how the heck did he do that? And I said, I don't know. She goes, he likes you, right? I said, yeah, don't worry, he likes me. I said, okay.
So Wendy is wondering if you're – well, she's saying you should do seminars. Do you give seminars, Rick?
I do. I don't go as far as I used to. Most of the time I give seminars as charity events. I'll go – like I did some for the American Legion, which is great. A lot of people came and they made a lot of money, which is fine with me. Because I don't need to get paid for this as long as I'm driving down the road. So I do it. I do seminars, and it's always interesting to see what people want to hear about.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, again, I want to thank you so much for being here.
It has been I don't know about Dr. Vicky, but it has been my absolute pleasure, you know. So I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You know, and I feel so comfortable here because I know I have people who are – keeping me honest, listening to what I'm saying, and I feel comfortable speaking with both of you, and you will tell me what you think, and that's the important thing for me. And everybody I see here, there's nothing here I think anybody should take personal. Everybody's trying to be helpful, and that's where we need to be.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, we find truth through debate, through discussion, through argument in a very healthy way. Not that you're trying to prove or disprove. We're trying to find information. We're trying to get to the essence of things. And we throw in some respect. We respect each other's viewpoints. We respect each other's lived experiences. And that's what it's all about. We're just trying to figure out this weird world that we live in, you know? So, you know, we're coming to that point where, you know, we're wrapping up, but I'm just going to throw it to both of you. You know, Dr. Rick, any last thoughts you want to leave us with?
The only last thought, and again, I have to stress this, if you do any research or investigation in this area, make sure you check yourself. Make sure you are comfortable that anybody you're speaking with don't have an underlying medical or some other problem that could hurt them simply because they believe they've had an alien abduction and they don't seek the right help. Because it's to your benefit too, because if they seek that help or they know that's not the case, then you've got a good case to look into.
Love it. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to tell a quick story. I told a friend of mine tonight that I'm working on the rewrites of my novel, and I even got a sequel in mind. She said, what are you doing writing a book? You're heading on 70, you know. And I went, what? I don't care. It's the process. Live in the process of life, people. Don't think about the conclusion. I'm going to have a talk with her when we have lunch on Friday, I tell you. But... live in the process of life. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep experiencing. You don't have to have an outcome. You don't have to have... I don't care if the book ever sells. You know, it doesn't matter. It's live in the process of being curious and living your life, no matter how old you get.
You're my hero. I love that. I love that. Well, I can't beat either of those, so I got nothing. I'm just going to say thank you, everybody.
I got nothing.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate this. This is fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, as I have each and every time that you've been on, Dr. Rick. So I do hope that you'll join us again. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to catch up with us. Please join us next week. Not sure what we're going to be talking about just yet, but it's going to be fantastic, and it'll be mind-shattering. It'll change your perspective of life. I'm pretty sure. So, looking forward to seeing you then. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.